This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. And it's clear that digitalization has been significantly sped up for many industries that were previously lacking in online or software-based solutions over the period of the COVID-19 pandemic. Leading the way even before the pandemic is holistic digital solutions provider HealthMetrics for both the healthcare and HR sectors. And to sort of update us on how far they've come since we last spoke to them in 2019 is Max Tum, head of revenue for HealthMetrics. So first of all, Max, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. Could you give us a little introduction of yourself and also for what HealthMetrics is all about?
Thanks so much for having me today, Christine. So, I'm Max Tum. I'm from HealthMetrics. So what I actually do is that I oversee the sales, the marketing, and the customer success teams within HealthMetrics. So essentially anything that is revenue generation within HealthMetrics. Mm-hmm. So over the last few years itself, we have been actually working with multiple companies, ranging from small, medium-sized companies all the way to large enterprises as well. And it's been a truly great journey to be working with all our esteemed clients, right? Over the last few years, they have definitely helped us grow in terms of the offerings that we have. And not only that, they also taught us how we weather through this entire pandemic together by providing the health services through our network partners as best as we can, especially when a pandemic such as an infectious disease in this case, we need to move really fast together with them. So this has been a great last few years with all our clients.
Right. And for people who don't actually know what HealthMetrics does, can you just explain a little bit about how the platform works?
Definitely. So we are actually providing a platform for companies to be managing their employee medical benefits. We first started out just to provide them with just the outpatient care. So what it also means is that companies who are providing access to general practitioner treatments, they can actually just enroll their employees within the platform itself. It's fully managed by the HR teams themselves, based upon what kind of benefits are covered and uncovered within the platform. And not only that, we don't have to wait for a medical card to arrive. The employees will be able to visit any of our network providers within the network, go there, seek through the cashless system. And the entire bill will be paid for by the company. If there are any excess payments that's required, then it's just paying cash directly to the service provider. And over the years itself, we've expanded not only just from the general practitioners, we moved it on to even dentists, optical providers, and also hospitals as well. So we've expanded our reach to over 3,500 plus healthcare providers over the years itself. And this provides a good platform for corporates to be providing a very comprehensive employee medical benefits.
I see. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, I guess, those plans, right, and how much you guys have expanded. And you know, you've mentioned that, you know, not only do you cover like GPs, but now you cover all sorts of other medical services, I suppose. I mean, was that already in the works or was that something that was accelerated because of the pandemic?
I guess it's both, a little bit of both, because within the pipeline itself, we've started out just providing a very small niche, right? We provided really just on the GP services initially, but we had greater plans for expanding to more offerings, right? Because we can't be just a platform to provide one area of the employee health benefits, but we had to expand it to the other health providers as well. So it was part of the plan. But of course, over the last 1.5 years, plans do come about, but of course, the reality hits and the pandemic came at a very interesting time as well, when we're all talking about 2020, how the country is going to be a high-income nation in this case. But 2020 was a very challenging year for most companies and most individuals itself. So that entire plan actually had to accelerate for us to be providing more offerings. In fact, some new offerings such as screening offerings through our platform, it needs to be expedited within plans that are there for 3 months in advance had to be shrunken to just 2 weeks to provide that kind of offering.
So what was it like? I mean, I think in terms of many businesses also had to sort of crack down and speed up a lot of processes or a lot of growth, right, in this time. But for you guys, it was especially pertinent because you are involved in healthcare, right? So tell me a little bit about that period of time, especially, you know, at the beginning of 2020 when all this news started happening. What was the initial response?
Well, to be honest, for the internal processes for us, it wasn't too much of a shift because since we've started in 2015, most of our processes are digital anyway. So the internal communications between colleagues from one another just moved into Microsoft Teams, going to Zoom and things like that very seamlessly. And a lot of them are very tech savvy. So the internal communications didn't actually break down in any way, right? The only part that sort of break down is much more towards the social aspect, working with colleagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
But from an external point of view itself, it's really about reaching out to our GP partners to be asking them in terms of what kind of services that you can provide. The first couple weeks or even 4 weeks in the first MCO itself, some of our GP partners, GP clinics out there, didn't really know whether to operate, whether to even to provide those services because they weren't sure how to protect themselves or even the patients that are coming into their clinics. So there was a period of uncertainty at that time. And over time, when our partners, when we start talking to them, like, okay, can we actually provide some screening services to our corporates? Because at that point in time, the only one that they knew was just the PCR test. And the PCR test is something that is very expensive at that point in time. In fact, it got to a point where each test costs up to 800 ringgit, 900 ringgit. So the cost was quite prohibitive. But what we wanted to do is to provide that kind of availability to our corporate clients, right? Whenever there is a COVID scare at that point in time, they're able to access those services through our partners.
I see.
Yeah.
And in terms of, you know, how your company has grown, obviously you guys have, as you mentioned earlier, expanded in terms of a lot of new features and also reaching out to different services as well. But, you know, in terms of, I also want to ask in terms of employment, did you guys manage to, in opposition to a lot of other companies, did you guys feel pressured to take on more staff and potentially, you know, increase hiring because, you know, I must imagine there was an influx of activity on the platform.
That's right. That's right. I guess being part of the platform itself, it allows us to scale a lot quicker, not only just from the server side as well, but even from how we provide our services at scale to different companies, right? So just having a platform itself allows us to be tapping on the 2,500 plus GPs that we have at a point in time. And really to leverage on their strengths, right? How can we actually tap onto their services? It's not so much about getting more operational staff at that point in time. There are times when the query starts to pile in and people new corporates wanting to join at that point in time because they wanted a solution that they'd be able to get better health services. So it was kind of a good situation for us where we are able to get more queries at the very uncertain time.
And were there more companies that reached out to you and to elicit the services of your platform during the pandemic as well?
Yes, actually on both sides, for new clients and also on existing clients as well. So for new clients, it's definitely looking for a platform they're able to seek for more services. But for existing clients, they've always been reaching out to us and asking us for certain advice in terms of how they can tap onto different healthcare providers within our network. So it can range from GP services to even mental health services as well. Because some of our GPs and even specialists within our network, they do provide very specialized services, which in some cases when corporates do reach out, they didn't really know what to expect or even to provide support to their employees. So they would then ask us for certain advice because we do have an in-house doctor, nutritionist, or even pharmacist as well. They'll be able to give some sort of guidance to them in terms of how they can actually look for certain services to support their employees.
And also out of interest, right? I understand that a lot of health metrics basically allows people to sort of conduct their medical services pretty much contactlessly, right? But was there any queries in terms of like telehealth services at all?
Yes, certainly. Because at the point in time, the government efforts were to integrate with some of these existing telehealth providers around Malaysia. So within Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken, there will be more than 10 different providers. So the KKM was actually working with a couple of providers to provide it to the mass public itself. Similarly, for the corporates, they did inquire with us whether we have any technological provider that will be able to provide this kind of telehealth consultation. So we actually piloted with a few companies at that point in time in terms of how we can actually provide those kind of consultation to their employees.
I see. And so tell me a little bit about the new features that Health Metrics has introduced to the platform since we last chatted in 2019.
Sure. So since last time itself, we've expanded it to not only just the outpatient care, we even moved into specialist treatments as well, where employees, dependents that are covered under the health programs, they'll be able to seek for treatments from specialist clinics, even for specialists within hospitals as well. We've expanded it to the specialist part of things. Not only that, we also work with health partners to be providing preventive programs as well. So what I meant preventive programs is that when we analyze it together with some of our corporates in terms of what kind of expenditure they are spending, whether it's on short-term care or long-term care, when we work with them, we want to be able to provide them with a preventive cost to prevent people from getting sicker in the first place. Or if they are, it's just to make sure that they don't get any more sicker than that, especially for people who are in long-term conditions. Mm-hmm. And of course, we cannot ignore the part about the COVID-19 screenings, because that is something that the corporates themselves requires it anyway.
I see. We're going to take a short break for some messages right now, but after that, I will continue speaking to Max Tam, Head of Revenue for Health Metrics, all about how they raised $5 million in Series A funding and also what they think the future of HR and healthcare in general is. I'm Christine Wong, and you're listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Bribe-free Malaysia? BFM 89.9, the business station.
Listening to Open for Business, I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is Max Tam. He is the Head of Revenue for Health Metrics. Health Metrics is a holistic digital solutions provider when it comes to healthcare for businesses, essentially. They work with human resource departments to essentially figure out how to give your company some good healthcare. So before the break, we were talking about how Health Metrics has grown since they were last on air with us in late 2019, talking about some of their new features, and of course, we did discuss a little bit about how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected Health Metrics. But one of the more pertinent accomplishments that Health Metrics had, this was, I believe, in late 2020, was that you guys raised $5 million in Series A funding. So tell me a little bit about that process in applying for this funding and how that all happened.
Sure, definitely. I guess over the last few months, into the MCO itself, there was quite a wrench that is thrown into the pool itself, right? Saying that, you know, there's a huge pandemic going on and maybe we should just continue to invest or not, right? But if you think about it, it's actually a global pandemic and we are in the business of healthcare. So when we were speaking to our prospective investors at that point in time as well, they do see that there is still tremendous growth within the space and also within the company itself, because we were at the right area. We were also classified as essential services to be enabling healthcare services to be moving on, right? And hence, they were quite positive to be proceeding on the funding itself, because that conversation actually started even before MCO actually started. So they were quite positive, and of course, they wanted to continue investing into the space itself. And of course, we were having this conversation itself. Mm-hmm. So that went well, yeah.
So what exactly was the money raised used for?
So there are multiple parts that we were actually raising it for, right? One is definitely to expand our service offerings, not so much on our core itself, because the core itself actually generates its own revenue and to sustain itself. But really, we needed, I guess, the extra push itself just to expand our service offerings beyond just the outpatient care. And of course, to also to solidify the platform, not only just on one niche, but really to provide a kind of comprehensive employee medical benefits to manage sort of an end-to-end employee health. So not only that, as part of the funding itself, we were also going to be using it to expand our services beyond Malaysia within the Southeast Asian region itself.
Mm-hmm. Any hints as to specifically where in the Southeast Asian region you're looking at?
At the moment, we are really talking back to our clients as well, because whenever we speak to our clients, some of them are having regional presence across Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a very interesting conversation to have, because when we are building the when we're building the entire platform itself, how we actually developed the entire platform was based upon the feedback and services that we offered it to our clients. And similarly as well, when we are actually working to expand our network beyond just Malaysia itself, we want to be able to continuously build on that value that we provided to our clients. So at the moment, we are still working in terms of some of our clients, in terms of the direction that we are moving towards.
All right. And, final kind of funding related question. Do you guys have any future funding goals in mind or any ideas as to what your next step is in this realm?
Yeah, because we are still in the height of the process of deployment of funds, because right now we are still deploying funds for expansion to R&D and other service offerings as well. I'm personally not aware of any funding goals as of yet. Yeah.
All right. Now, I actually want to talk to you a little bit about something that you touched on a little bit in the first half of the interview in terms of how companies should be looking at their employee healthcare. Because, you know, you mentioned that, especially in the light of the pandemic, there were a lot of services that companies had not previously considered as part of, you know, healthcare coverage when it comes to their employees. But a lot of things started to sort of crop up a little bit. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about how you think, especially the pandemic, has shifted how companies have been looking at employee healthcare.
Sure. I think it's not just really about just employee healthcare. I guess many of you and also your friends as well will probably seen a picture that says that the process of digitalization for any corporates at the moment is not the CTO or CIO in this case, it's definitely COVID-19, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, right, companies do scramble to digitalize as many processes as they can. So with this overwhelming need for digitalization itself, it can be quite daunting to certain companies that are not equipped to have this change in such a short period of time itself. So aside from employee benefits, we do see there are a lot of companies that have never really changed their processes over the last 5-10 years or whatever it is. They do struggle quite a bit. And of course, when they do struggle, the very fundamental processes like HR or even finance and things like that do fall apart. So this is some of the things that sometimes we do meet in terms of prospects as well, in terms of companies that we actually speak to, where they are scrambling to digitize as many different processes as they can simultaneously. And it can be quite messy, and many of the processes do break down during that process.
And also earlier you mentioned that a lot of companies were also asking about, getting in touch with mental health services as well. I mean, tell me a little bit about that and how you think, do you think there has been more of a conversation on giving employees mental health benefits or coverage as well?
Yeah. I think the conversation did switch a bit, before MCO, where companies are willing to talk more about mental health, how they can actually provide certain employee benefits for them to be speaking to counselors, speaking to psychologists, to manage stress in this case, or manage certain depression, right? But when MCO does come into play, there was a different conversation that actually cropped up. It's not so much on stress, but rather more towards social connection, where people don't really meet their colleagues, don't really talk beyond just their family members or even their partners in this case, right? So the conversation actually switched towards how do you actually manage your mental health from a work from home environment, because the only time when you go out is probably just to buy food or buy groceries. But other than that, you do not have a lot of social connection with your friends or even colleagues in this case. So the conversation steered over the other side. And that's something that even the counselors or even psychologists had to look at, because they have always been dealing more towards how people deal with depression, deal with stress. But this is a different conversation altogether.
Right. So it's more about, I guess, addressing the issue of isolation rather than, I guess, the stressors of a typical 9-to-5.
That's right.
That's interesting. And also, you know, obviously there was a bit of confusion in terms of a lot of SOPs regarding not GPs, but the other sort of medical services that you guys do provide contact for. So as you mentioned, like dental, optical, for example, you know, there was a lot of confusion during many different phases of the lockdown, whether or not some of these services were even allowed to operate. So, you know, how did that affect you guys, if it did at all?
It did. Because we work with different optical partners. Some are much larger than the others. So, of course, the larger chains itself, they are a lot more equipped in terms of the SOPs. So they are very clear in terms of how they should operate, what kind of timing they should operate as well. So it's very clear for us to be communicating to our corporates and also the users within our platform itself. But whereas for the smaller businesses out there that provides those kind of services, sometimes they do reach out to us and ask us whether some of the providers are actually working, have already started their services, because they weren't too sure about whether to operate or not. And that's something that I do feel for them, because the SOPs do change. And if it's pharmacy, if it's GP, it's very straightforward. But if you're providing optical, it can get a little bit gray.
I see. All right, Max. Well, as we begin to wrap up the interview, tell me a little bit about, I guess, predictions or goals for health metrics for the future.
Sure, definitely. I mean, definitely for health metrics, our goal is really to make sure that we are able to cater to the needs of employees throughout the entire life cycle of their working life, right? Whether the person is an employee with a lot of manual labor all the way to someone that is having a lot of desk job, or of course, right now we have the work from home employees as well. Health services should be easily accessible. And by providing this platform, we really want to be able to make health services really accessible. And of course, manage the costs equally as easy by the corporates, right? Because corporates are the ones that are providing this benefit. We need to be able to help them to sort of like squeeze the dollar or squeeze the ringgit in this case, mm-hmm. To provide as much services as we can. But of course, when we are moving towards the future of employee healthcare, it's definitely towards a employee that is more mobile. I know right now employee control order is in place where people are having troubles moving around, but we can't get about the fact that people are moving quite a lot more, and remote working is actually a thing. So whether you're working from home while on transit, or even when they're on vacation as well, the benefits should be following them, because that's how we are able to integrate both the work and life together.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's been a lot of chat about flexible working arrangements, but not necessarily the benefits that come with it, right?
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it for today's interview. Thank you very much, Max, for speaking to me today all about health metrics.
Brilliant. Thank you, Christine.
This is, of course, Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Max Tum, Head of Revenue for Health Metrics. If you've missed any of today's interview, you can download our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play to catch up with our podcast. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen back to our podcast, or you can also find us on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.